That's it.
It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here. After a 4-1 Blackhawks loss to the Detroit Red Wings, their fourth straight home loss for the Blackhawks, all of them in regulation. You can call or text 312-981-7200 if you want to chime in on the post-game show. We're going up to 10:30. We bring in Troy Murray before they got to dart out of here for another flight to Dallas. How would you sum this one up? It feels like it wasn't really a poor game by the Blackhawks. It was just very meticulous by Detroit, and they took advantage when they could.
I agree with that. I believe that Detroit did what they needed to do. They clogged up some areas. The Blackhawks had some chances early on. Their goaltender Talbot was good, but I think the Blackhawks got a little bit frustrated with how the game was going on, and Detroit just kind of sat back and did what they needed to do. Shut down a lot of the rust chances that the Blackhawks wanted to create. And then I think they started to run into some turnover problems. You know, and it was the first period that I talked about. Sorry, it was the second period. First period was pretty clean, except for the one bad break right at the end where the Brink had scored. But if you look at the second period, they started to press it a little bit too much, tried to get too individual, chasing the score. And, you know, it's not... Not the way it happens, but it kind of starts to snowball and it continues on where, you know, and it started in my mind. I can remember this. Reichel comes down the right wing side and they've got two guys that are defending at the blue line there. And he tried to make a little play, turned over. Nothing happened on that play. But not too long right after that, you had Bertuzzi coming down and it was down the right wing side again. And he tried to cut into the middle across the blue line. It was picked off, and that ended up on the goal of Larkin. Those pucks got to go in deep, and if you just, you got to stick with what is working, and then all of a sudden, I think now you start pressing a little bit too much, and Detroit just has to sit back and let it happen, counterattack. The Blackhawks' power play was very ineffective tonight, and again, it's the entries that are the major issue, not once you get in the zone, but trying to get it into the zone. Detroit just held the blue line there, and the Blackhawks couldn't find a way to get it set up there. So a lot of factors came into this game, and you could just sense that there was frustration by the end of the game about how well Detroit played and kind of snuffed out the good opportunities. Connor Bedard very quiet in this game.
Yeah, that first period goal by Alex DeBrincat with 1.5 seconds left feels like it was deflating at the time, maybe isn't the right word, because they controlled it, felt like, the first period. The Blackhawks, I know the shots were 10-6 at the end of one, but they were at one point it was 10-2 or 3, and so Detroit gets that one late. I don't know if that changes anything for the Blackhawks' mentality going into the second period.
Well, I don't think so, and they ended up tying up the game. 8.5 minutes into the second period, Nick Foligno scored. So, you know, I mean, it didn't seem to affect them. But, you know, again, you look at it, to me the goal that really hurt is the Larkin goal, because you battled hard, you got a goal by scoring the right way. Good shift by Bertuzzi, Hall, and Foligno, working the puck down low, winning the one-on-one board battles. Bertuzzi throws it through the crease, Foligno's in the far side, hacks and whacks at it, muscles it in. So they've tied the game, and there's excitement in the building, but then you force the turnover. And all of a sudden, bang, it's transition, and it's 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes later, and Detroit now regains the lead. That's a mistake that is very curable, if that's the word. I mean, that can't happen. So you're just sitting there, and you're looking at it. You're going, okay, we tied the game up. We gave up that late goal, but we're still playing well. And then all of a sudden, couple things kind of crept into your game, and the turnovers at the blue line there, and you know, Larkin's got great speed, and it was no fault of Isaac Phillips on the play, but it was the turnover at the blue line there. You just tied it up, you want to keep the momentum on your side, or at least keep it all even, and all of a sudden now you're chasing the score again. So that was the big goal, and they were never able to recover from that goal.
I think the third one too, the Joseph Foligno goal, that was kind of the deflating goal, because it was just unlucky. It goes off, Sider throws it to the net, Foligno deflects it was clearly going wide, and it just goes off Nolan Allen skating in. And now it's 3-1. And now it's now psychologically the Hawks are thinking, oh boy, now we got to overcome these bad breaks to overcome a 2-goal deficit.
Yeah, and if that is as a goal that ends up getting it to 2-1, well, you're still within reach.
Right.
But it was the mistake that got the goal from
yep.
Dylan Larkin. So now a bad break goes against you. Now not only, you know, are you 1 goal down, but now you're 2 goals down and really have no fault of your own. And even the first goal that happened, it was just kind of a bad break and a bad bounce. You kind of got to deal with those. But give Detroit credit by going to the front of the net. Good things happen. And, you know, the Hawks didn't get any breaks. They didn't get any bounces around that area. But, I think Talbot, in a lot of ways, I don't remember a whole lot of second and third opportunities. So Detroit did a pretty good job of protecting their netminder. And what we talked about at the beginning, quantity over quality. They're not worried about the shots from the outside. They're worried about taking away those inner slot opportunities. And I thought they did a good job there. Very few uncontested shots from that area. And maybe the one best opportunity that I can remember was Vlasic getting a nice little drop pass from Dickinson. And then he tried to pass it over to Teravainen. It would have been great if it had worked, but it was picked off. And Vlasic, from there, he's got a bomb. I mean, he's just got to tee that one up and let her rip.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a disappointing result by the Blackhawks, too, because we were talking about it in the pregame show. An opportunity to win 3 times in a row for the first time in 2 seasons. They hadn't won more than 2 games all last year. They won back-to-back games just 3 times. And so it was an opportunity to kind of stack some wins together and go on some sort of mini winning streak that the Blackhawks have not been able to feel for a year and a half now. And so now you have to start all over in Dallas, second of a back-to-back against, you know, a potential Stanley Cup contender in the Stars.
Not the script that you would want, and you would hope that they would get better results in this one, but hope doesn't get it done. It's got to be on the ice. And I would say that, you know, it'd be interesting to get Luke Richardson's thoughts on this, and you'll get them here, and I'll tune in on the way to the airport and hear what he has to say. But you know, it wasn't a bad first period, but I just think they started to get sloppy. They got a little bit ahead of themselves instead of sticking with what should have worked here. And you look at their road record, 4-4-1, and their home record, 1-4. They got to be a lot better here on home ice, and that in some ways has been an issue the last couple seasons. You want to make this a building where nobody wants to come and play, and it just hasn't kind of panned out that way. And it was a quiet crowd in here tonight because Blackhawks didn't give them a whole lot of reason to get excited about. And this was, you know, a good build-up. The building was packed, and you got the original six matchup. You got Kane coming back into town, and it just didn't pan out the way that you would want it to happen. And it's unfortunate. I think that this is kind of a very frustrating loss for the Blackhawks after coming off a successful road trip and just not getting it done. And sometimes there's a little bit of a catch game. They talk about a long road trip coming back the first game at home. But you only got 1 game at home, and now you go back on the road. So you'd obviously be in a much better mind frame here if you won this game going into Dallas, knowing that you've won 3 in a row and you've played well on the road. You've already played Dallas pretty strong. So I think it's got to be pretty frustrating for the coaching staff and the players, because this was a game I think a lot of the players thought that they could win.
Yeah. There was some good pace at the beginning of the game, too. It just didn't translate into any high quality scoring chances for the Blackhawks, and like you mentioned, there weren't really many second or third opportunities that I can think of off the top of my head that the Blackhawks generated.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's one thing that you have to stick with it. You played a good period. Yeah, you're down 1-0, but you got to stick with what's going on. You got to trust the system. You got to trust how you need to play. And I think they got away from that, and that just kind of played into the hands of Detroit. I didn't think Detroit really pushed the issue. I think they countered the issue a lot better.
You sick of airports yet?
I am, and it's early in the season.
It's another trip going back to Dallas, then coming back home. But it's been a grueling road trip for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, they come back home for 1 game, I think, again, and then go back out
to Seattle
and Vancouver.
Yeah.
Some long trips.
Yeah, and those West Coast games, too, the late starts, I'm sure that, not to make an excuse, but the guys, their body clocks are probably all disoriented already because of the late starts at the beginning of the season with Edmonton and Calgary or Winnipeg, and then on the West Coast that they just got.
Yeah, that, you know, it happens to all the teams, but it's hard. I mean, it's hard for the players to get adjusted to that. And I don't think a lot of the players, and I still have it, and I'm pretty sure John's the same way. When you get into these cities, it's not like you can just go into bed and just fall asleep. You're still kind of wound up, and it takes you a while to get in there. So now you're talking about the adjustments. You get in at 3 o'clock, but it's really 4 o'clock body time. And, you know, it's hard to make the adjustment. This, you know, I think the ETA that the Blackhawks have to get into Dallas tonight is a little bit after 2 o'clock. By the time we get to the airport or to the hotel and get checked in, it's close to 3 o'clock. So, you know, probably no morning skate tomorrow. They'll have a meeting and get together at the hotel. But it's a tough travel schedule. Every team has to go through it, but it doesn't make it any easier.
Yeah, and Connor Bedard actually mentioned that last year or at the beginning of this season. He said that the one thing that surprised me was just how much travel there is in the NHL, and that was an adjustment for him, just getting used to, going to bed at 3:30 in the morning because you've got all these road trips. So, so the Blackhawks are going to have the second of a back-to-back tomorrow night in Dallas. I imagine Arvin Soderblom is going to be between the pipes. Turned in a really good performance, probably one of the best of his career easily as a Blackhawk. So we'll see if he can capitalize on that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought he was excellent, and that may have been his best game overall and got the win for it. He's played some good games and didn't get the results. But I would expect the way that he played and the confidence that the team now has in him that it'll be Soderblom in net tomorrow night against the Stars. No easy task, but hopefully he's up for it and the team responds the right way.
All right. I don't want to make you late for the airport, so I'll send you off as this fly. This fly has
were you doing that to me, or rid of a fly that was in front of you?
I was subtly doing it to you, but there's actually a fly that has been bothering me all game. Get away. All right. go on to Dallas. We'll talk tomorrow night. I'll be at downtown WGN studio, and you will be at American Airlines Center. So good stuff, Troy.
Great job by you.
All right.
Great job.
Patrick Kane's return to Chicago. We all know what happened the last time he was here at the United Center. Scores the overtime winner. Alex DeBrincat scored the game-tying goal late in the third period. I thought that line for Detroit, Dylan Larkin, Patrick Kane, and Alex DeBrincat, it was easily the best line for either team, really generating chances all night. They scored the first two goals of the game. Alex DeBrincat, of course, with 1.5 seconds left in the first period, and then Dylan Larkin scored the second one. Troy broke it down. The turnover but just failing to get it deep into the zone by Tyler Bertuzzi led the Red Wings rush the other way. Larkin blows past Isaac Phillips, and Detroit goes up 2-1. But that line for Detroit, Kane and DeBrincat, we all know what they can do together. We've seen it in Chicago for many years. Looking at the stats, so they played almost 14 minutes of ice time together at 5-on-5. Shot attempts were 9-8 Detroit. Shots on goal were 8-3 Detroit. Scoring chances were 11-2 Detroit, and they outscored Chicago 2-0 when that trio was on the ice. So the numbers back up the eye test of the Red Wings' top line. It's a really good win, by the way, for the Detroit Red Wings, who came into this game. We broke it down in the pregame show. A lot of their underlying process stats were not very favorable. Shots on goal per game, dead last in the NHL. Second most shots on goal against per game, allowing the second most shots. Poor penalty killing team. The 5-on-5 scoring percentage, all the numbers, they were pretty low. And, you know, Troy had mentioned it too. Like, Detroit just played a game where they didn't make many mistakes. And that's kind of a good recipe for Detroit for them moving forward, because they do play a little bit of high-risk, high-reward hockey, but it's also not a bad strategy for the Blackhawks trying to, you know, just limit the defensive mistakes, because you can pinpoint, you know, the Blackhawks, I didn't think played a sloppy game tonight. It was really just a few mistakes that ended up costing them, and those mistakes at the NHL level, most teams are going to make you pay no matter where they are in the standings. So it's a disappointing loss for the Blackhawks. Let's see if they can rebound tomorrow night in Dallas. Hopefully it doesn't deflate the sails too much. But, you know, as Troy said, I think the Hawks have to do a better job of protecting home ice. So we'll see if they can do it tomorrow night in Dallas. Let's take a quick break on the FanDuel Sports. Well, I was going to say FanDuel Sportsbook. That's not it. On the Blackhawks post-game show, we're waiting for some sound to come in from downstairs, the Blackhawks locker room, and Luke Richardson. We'll be right back here on the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN.
Wings come back and attack with seven. Larkin over the Hawk line, right wing side. Better pass to the slot. Bounces away. They score! Larkin took the puck to the net after several clearing attempts by Hawks players. He used his shin pads to keep the puck alive in front of the Hawk net and somehow worked it over to Alex DeBrincat. The former Hawks slammed it home with 1.5 seconds on the clock. It's 1-0 Detroit.
Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show here at the United Center. Blackhawks fell to the Red Wings 4-1. Fourth consecutive home loss for the Blackhawks. That was a goal by former Blackhawks star Alex DeBrincat. His sixth goal of the season, scored with 1.5 seconds left in the first period. It was funny. Patrick Kane fed the pass over to Dylan Larkin, and Kane kind of hovered in the neutral zone. He was getting ready to go off for a line change, and then he looked up and realized there were only 5 seconds left on the clock. So he just kind of hung around. It looked like he wanted the plus in case the Red Wings scored, and they did score. And so you see the goal celebration afterwards. Kane was so late to getting to the scrum because he was so far away in the neutral zone. So Alex DeBrincat, by the way, is now on a 3-game point streak against his former team. He's had 2 multi-point efforts, 2 goals, and 3 assists for 5 points over those 3 games against his former Blackhawks team. Speaking of Kane, there was a play earlier in the, was it the first period of Connor? Yeah, it was first period of Connor Bedard and Patrick Kane going back and forth at each other. Kane stripping the puck from Connor Bedard in the offensive zone, and then Bedard then trying to do the same thing to Patrick Kane, but ended up tripping Kane, getting penalized for tripping and going to the penalty box. And it was, man, it really reminded me, I know this is a poor example of the context of the players, but of when Pavel Datsyuk and Marian Hossa went at it. This was years ago where Pavel Datsyuk stripped Marian Hossa of the puck in the offensive zone, and then Hossa hustled right back to strip the puck from Pavel Datsyuk. And it was kind of like those two players, Hossa had learned that move from Pavel Datsyuk when he spent 1 year in Detroit, and it was like two of the best defensive forwards in the NHL going toe-to-toe. And similarly here, two of the great offensive players for the Blackhawks, Patrick Kane historically, and then Connor Bedard's ascension, likely going to be one of the best offensive players in the franchise history. You know, it's kind of like Kane saying, not ready to, you know, I still got it, young man. And it was funny, too, because after Kane got tripped, he didn't even look at Connor. He just kind of skated away like, yep, that was a penalty. And, you know, Kane was going on the power play. With Connor Bedard, you can see the frustration growing. I was taking a peek at the TNT feed on TV, and they were breaking down Connor's chances tonight. And he slammed the stick on the glass, and you can tell he's really getting frustrated about the goals not falling for him. He's now on a 5-game goal drought, has 3 goals on the season. Bedard finished with 4 shots on goal, 5 shot attempts total, but there weren't really a ton of grade A opportunities, or they didn't come at a, they came later in the game. I think he had 0 shot attempts through the first period. So it was a quiet early part of the game for him. And I think once the first goal drops for him, it feels like the weight is going to be lifted off his shoulders just a little bit, and it could potentially open up the floodgates for more. And I know I've been saying that for a couple games now, but he really is one of those rare players, that once he scores, he follows through with, it's one of those things where you go on, how many times have we watched Patrick Kane here in Chicago go 5 or 6 games without scoring a goal, and then the next 5 games or next 4 games, he's got 7 goals, and he just kind of erupts for a big night. So I'm really not concerned about Connor Bedard, but you can tell it's, the frustration is visible on the ice for Bedard, and hopefully he can turn that sooner or later, because you know, you can tell that it's really getting to him. One of the areas that I'm sure he's hoping to break through in soon and collectively as a team is the power play. They went 2-for-2 against Anaheim the other night. It was a really strong effort in that department, because I think it was the third time this season the Blackhawks had scored multiple power play goals in a game. Last season they did it five times, I believe, so the Hawks are already halfway there, or more than halfway there. Tonight's performance on the power play, they had two opportunities. One, they had five failed zone exits on six opportunities, and on the second one, there were a little bit better entries, but they just could not get anything generated in the offensive zone. So not as many opportunities that the Blackhawks were probably hoping to get, but that's an area that I'm sure Connor Bedard and the Blackhawks would like to break through in, because that's not a they've had success there early in the early part of the season. It's been a big reason why the Hawks have won some hockey games in their wins. And when they're not scoring on the power play, they're not getting that consistent 5-on-5 offensive output that they're hoping. I'm doing the post-game show here at the United Center from the press box. I'm looking out. The crew is getting ready to put the tile down for the Bulls. I think the Bulls game, the Bulls have a game either tomorrow or whatever. And I'm looking at Patrick Kane and Alex DeBrincat just came out. They got like a huge crew here. Patrick Kane's family is in town. You could see his dad, Amanda's here with his son, Patty Boy, who's 4 years old, I think, about to be. Cannot believe that he's already that old. So it's good to see Patrick Kane getting some love from some of the Chicago fan base and all of his family and friends that have made the trip to Chicago. All right, let's take one more break here, and then we're going to hopefully get some sound from the Blackhawks locker room, and we're going to also hear from Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson. So we got more to get to on the Blackhawks postgame show coming up right here on 720 WGN.
Put it ahead now at center ice. Larkin over the Hawk line to break it down the left wing side. Closes in front and fires, and somehow Mrazek got a piece of that. DeBrincat had deked Mrazek down and out and tried to shove it in behind him, and somebody got a stick on that puck.
That was tonight's save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. Peter Mrazek, that was 21 saves on the night. He stopped 21 of 24 shots by the Red Wings. Cam Talbot for Detroit had 28 saves on 29 shots. He stopped 10 in the first period, 8 of 9 in the second period, and 10 for 10 in the third. So pretty even across the board for Detroit, for Cam Talbot stopping those shots. Again, 28 shots on goal or 28 saves on 29 shots for Cam Talbot. It didn't feel like the Blackhawks, like Troy and I were mentioning, not many of them were high quality scoring chances, but you would like to see the Blackhawks get more in the greasy areas, get in the crease, and even if it's point shots, getting the point shots and trying to capitalize on the rebounds. But it didn't feel like the Blackhawks were able to do that against Detroit, which had given up the most shots on goal per game going into this matchup. All right, Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno just spoke inside the locker room. Let's hear what he had to say.
It's not the goal you give up, it's when. How much does a goal when you give it up with 1.5 seconds left kind of do to you going into a locker room?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. Obviously, you don't want to be giving up a goal that late, but we got it back, right? So, that's part of the game, and it happens, but you pick each other up when those moments happen. The part that we have to fight is the momentum swings and not giving momentum away. I think that was the difference in the game tonight. It's, we talked about learning how to win. I mean, part of it is making a team earn the momentum they're going to get and how hard it is to get back. And we have to start understanding that. Like, the second goal is a direct result of a few shifts of not getting the puck in deep, and they make you pay. They're a team that plays off the rush. They're opportunistic. They like that style of hockey, right? They want to be able to get it where an on-man rush and make you pay. And, it's disappointing because we know and we have to be better. I mean, that's just a simple fact, and I think that's where we need to start growing and continue to grow as a group here and understanding momentum and how important it is in the game, and you can't be the one giving it away.
Small sample size, but is there any reason why you've had more success on the road, you think, than at home?
I think we probably just understand it's a more simple game, simple approach, right? And I think we get in front of our crowd, and for whatever reason, we feel like we have to put on a show. In some ways, it's just simplifying, and winning's fun. And then, it's funny, like you talk about winning, and it's maybe ugly at first, or it's, you know, it's not the prettiest, but then it gets pretty. It gets pretty because you start doing it collectively. Guys buy in, guys feel good about their games, and all of a sudden now the really pretty plays start to happen. And you get momentum, you get confidence from that. And we got to figure it out at home, especially while we're not on TV. We got to find a way to get our fans excited about us playing here, and you know, it's disappointing tonight.
You guys have given up relatively few odd man rushes this year, but it seemed like there were a lot tonight. Was there something structurally that was leading to that?
Well, I think they're a team that cheats on the offense, right? Like they want to try to sneak by you. They're going to take that risk and hoping that you're going to play on the opposite side of them. And we kind of fed into it a little bit at the end, and just untimely turnovers or not getting it exactly where you need to. But I mean, every time we had a shift where we were in their end, I mean, we had really good looks, really good chances, and you know, it's disappointing that we just don't understand how successful that style can be, and not allowing a team that maybe wants to cheat to get their game going, right? We could take advantage of maybe them being in the wrong spot, and now we take advantage and score. So yeah, it's a frustrating one. We got a big game now coming in Dallas here, and we gotta turn the page and know what we did wrong here and get on the road and simplify our game.
You talk about that momentum, getting the ball rolling. There hasn't been a three-game win streak since before you even got here.
Yeah.
How hard is it to do that when you just can't string them together?
Like, yeah, I mean, man, we should be four or five games in a row right now. So, yeah, it's how you have to play in order to keep yourself in the mix, right? You've got to find a way to win two or three and four and get on a little string of wins here. So it's frustrating for us because we know where we're sitting and where we're trying to get to. But I think our style of play, like we're doing a lot of good things, but you're not reaping the benefit because those little ones, the momentums, the understanding what it takes to win are not as detailed as they need to be right now. And we need to shape that up and smarten up and hopefully getting on the road against a really good team in Dallas where we know they're really structured and really well coached and well playing team. Maybe that'll simplify our game more.
Was there anything they were doing specifically that made the power play a struggle tonight?
No, I just think we need to execute better. I mean, being on it and watching, you can see sometimes we're just not hitting the right play at the right time. I think it's overthinking. It's wanting, you know, guys want to do well. Guys want to be difference makers out there, and we have enough out there to do the job. It's just sometimes it's a mindset of you know, outworking the penalty kill and knowing that, you know, it's a huge, you can't give momentum away on a power play. You gotta just kind of continue to have it. And, you know, that's where I think we're falling short right now. We're just not executing, which is hurting our momentum in our game.
That was Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno after the 4-1 loss to the Detroit Red Wings. He was asked about the Blackhawks' failure to string together more than two wins in a row, which is something that they hadn't done all of last season since before Nick Foligno was even a Blackhawk. And he was mentioning how we should have at least four or five wins in a row, and he's probably referencing that San Jose game where he feels like one of the guys that spoke after, I think it was the LA win, and he was saying that, you know, it feels like the hockey gods rewarded them for the win in LA because they deserved one in San Jose. When you go back and watch the third period, they did everything but score in that period, so it's unfortunate that the Hawks haven't been able to do that in the just results, seeing the results of that. So we'll see if they can start a new streak in Dallas. Connor Murphy, alternate captain, also spoke after this Blackhawks loss. Let's hear what he had to say.
How would you assess that performance?
Not good enough. I think it's just really frustrating at home. We're trying to build a better group of performances here at home. And United Center was known years ago to be a hard place to play in on the road, and we haven't made it that so far this year.
What do you think was, I guess, going wrong structurally that they were taking advantage?
It's not structurally. It's just like details of the game. We knew going into it they were a rush team, and then we ended up just giving them rushes. We gave them odd man rushes, whether it's 2-on-1s or 3 and 4-on-2s, and they got their chances there. And we're not a team that can break the game wide open. We don't necessarily have enough to be able to just make it a track meet in a high scoring match so far.
How can you turn around being able to win at home?
I don't know. It's performance wise for us just playing better. It's one thing that you don't know how to put your finger on, or else we would be there already. Everyone wants to, and everyone feels prideful about being here and having our fans here in Asan. So it's just, that's why the frustration's so high. Not pulling it off at home more often, and I think just us, whenever we get back here, the ownership and just the dig in, buy in, and even some of those road performances we had where being okay with a sloppy, uglier period or game versus us trying to put on more of a show at home.
Or how
demoralizing was that DeBrincat goal with a couple seconds left.
Second left was frustrating. It felt like we had them hemmed in for a while there, and we felt like we were wanting to push and try to score there in the last seconds of the period, and didn't really feel like it was a threat for them to come back. So it was frustrating, but we ended up getting one back in the second and had a couple shifts in their end, and then things kind of started to unravel after that.
That was Blackhawks defenseman Connor Murphy talking about the frustration of the Blackhawks' lack of home wins this season. Only one win at the United Center, and it was the home opening win against San Jose, where it was one of their best 60-minute efforts of the season. Nick Foligno also was talking about wanting to be better at home, and Foligno had mentioned playing on the road, they're able to simplify their game a little bit more, and you would like to see the Blackhawks bring over that mentality to the United Center and playing in their old building and not trying to do things the flashy way, just trying to get pucks in deep. It's so cliche, but just trying to scrap their way into a win. The Hawks had 16 home wins last season. They had only 7 wins on the road last year. They already have 4 wins on the road this year, and so the discrepancy or the disparity, you hope the Blackhawks aren't leaning too much the other direction, where now they're going to start to pick up more road wins and not be able to protect home ice, because making this building a difficult place to play is something the Blackhawks really take a lot of pride in. And I think the Blackhawks want to make sure they're not veering too much away from that, even though the last few years have been difficult in this building. They want to get back to making this place a loud building to play in, an intimidating place to play in, especially having the best national anthem in all of sports. Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson spoke to the media just a little bit ago. Let's hear what he had to say after this loss.
Does it kind of feel a little bit like one step forward, two steps back with, you know, the way you came off the road trip and just wasn't working tonight?
Yeah, just it was disappointing. I think we just didn't have energy, I thought, most of the night, and you know, just a couple poor decisions at times. And I think, timely goals against, like the one at the end of the first period. You know, we obviously can't give up. I know it bounced around a little bit in front of the net, but we just got to make sure that doesn't happen. And I think we just have to be really alert and smarter when the other team's like top lines out there and on our decision making. I thought we gave them too many two-on-ones and line rushes against us, which takes a lot of energy out when we didn't have a whole lot of it to begin with.
You guys haven't given up a lot of odd man rushes up to this point. Was there something different that was happening today?
I think just instant decision making. I think, you know, our D's, sometimes have to be a little bit more cautious in the offensive zone and realize who's out there in the style that they're going to play. They're going to break when if you're caught down low or maybe leaning on the offense. I think we have to do a job defensively against them first, and then that was probably the most that we've given up, I think, in a game this year, and that's something just to easily correct. It's not a trend yet, and we got to make sure it doesn't become that.
Isaac Philpott have done anything differently in that Larkin situation?
Not much. I think he's looking for a change. He was, I think, dead tired on that shift, and we have to do a better job getting pucks deep. I think we got a little bit sloppy, especially in the second period. A power play was not great, and then we had 2 or 3 shifts in a row where we turned pucks over at the blue line, and that was one of them. And we got to protect our D in that instance and let him get off and get a change. One of the fastest guys in the league against a guy that's dead tired, it's not a good match.
Can you draw any conclusions from the success on the road versus the success at home?
Not really. I think early, in the first homestand we had, I thought we played well at times. It was very similar to kind of our first road trip. We didn't get a lot of success in the win column, but we played well. I think tonight it was probably, a sloppier game compared to those other ones. So, you know what, we go back on the road and grind it out, probably a little fatigue tomorrow, and try and find a way to do something, and then come back and we have a couple days at least just to kind of regroup and hopefully find some more energy for our home games for sure.
The veteran team, 14 games in, is it frustrating that it still seems like there's some lesson learning that this group needs to do?
Yeah, I think there's timely plays that we just have to learn as a team when to be a little bit more aggressive and when not to be. And I think, there was a couple of instances tonight that cost us on goals. And, I know the veterans talk about a lot of the good things, but we have to, definitely make more steps forward. I think that was the first question today. And, I thought, we had a two-game winning streak going, great. It's not that long a streak. So we have to be, reality has to set in and realize that we worked hard. But it's not like we won 10 in a row and things are just clicking for us. We have to still work on our game and find our game. There's been lots of line changes and combinations that we've been moving around. So some of that has to settle in as well. But, we have to rely on that veteran presence to help that.
That was Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson. Again, not really the worst game the Blackhawks have ever played. I mean, they didn't give up too many high-quality scoring chances. It was really just the timely goals against, and Luke was saying, just a couple poor decisions at times that led to Detroit goals, whether it was the end of the period on the Alex DeBrincat goal, whether it was the Dylan Larkin play the Dylan Larkin goal where Tyler Bertuzzi didn't chip it in too deep, and then it ends up in the back of the net. So just those little lapses in error for the Blackhawks, needing to clean up. I want to quickly empty out the rest of the notebook that I had for this game. Ryan Donato came into this game on a 5-game point streak. Unfortunately, that has been snapped after he did not get on the score sheet. He logged 15-11 of ice time. He did lead the team in shots on goal with 5 and ended up winning 5 of 8 faceoffs for a 63% win percentage. So he played fine. There was a point in the game, Troy had pointed it out, that the start of the third period, Donato got moved to the fourth line with Craig Smith and Pat Maroon, and it was Philip Kurashev and Connor Bedard with Lucas Reichel getting promoted to the top line just to provide help or try to provide some sort of spark, because it felt like Lucas, his legs were going again. Unfortunately, they didn't have a ton of power play opportunities, only 2 opportunities in this game, and they really didn't do much with either of them. But Luke trying to press some different buttons as the Blackhawks were looking for some scoring there towards the third period. Also, Alex Vlasic, is this right? He finished with a -4 rating. Nobody else on the Blackhawks finished with a worse than a minus. Oh, everyone else was pretty much -1. Kurashev was -2. But Vlasic, that's probably, man, we're not going to see that very often where Vlasic is a -4. He did finish with 4 blocked shots, which led the team. And he had 25.01 of ice time, which was 2nd on the team by far. Nobody else, wow, him and Seth Jones finished with more than 25 minutes of ice time. Nobody else logged more than 19.5 minutes for the Blackhawks. So they really leaned heavily on the Seth Jones and Alex Vlasic pairing. All right, we got one more break to get to, and then we'll preview our next game tomorrow night in Dallas. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show, putting a bow on the 4-1 loss to the Detroit Red Wings tonight at the United Center. Again, tough, disappointing result for the Blackhawks. Unfortunately, they weren't able to stack their 3rd win in a row, something they haven't done in a couple seasons, so we'll see if they can start a new streak tomorrow in Dallas. Let's head to Washington, where the Predators and Capitals were squaring off. The big storyline that we've been following all season long is Alex Ovechkin's chase of Wayne Gretzky's goal record. He extended his goal streak to 5 games after scoring yet another one in Washington tonight.
Centering scores! And it's Alex Ovechkin on a feed from behind the net! The great 8 with goals in 5 in a row!
Breaking down the 4-1 loss to the Detroit Red Wings, let's take a look at the next game for the Blackhawks against the Dallas Stars. The 2nd game of a back-to-back for the Blackhawks. They played in Dallas about a week and a half ago, I think it was last Saturday, lost to the Stars 4-2. There was a clip that went viral later on after the game of the Blackhawks really peppering the net on a 6-on-5 extra attacker opportunity, and Seth Jones's shot from the point was going directly into the net. It looked like it was going to hit the inside of the post and then go in, but Nick Foligno was standing right in front of the net, and he redirected the shot, and it unfortunately went the other way and not to the left of him that would have been directly into the net. Unfortunately, the Blackhawks weren't able to capitalize because it would have tied the game and sent the game into overtime. And that's maybe one of the points that Nick Foligno was making after tonight's game about feeling like they should already have four or five wins in a row, just some of the games that they've put together already. So we'll see if the Blackhawks can put together, I would say, a better start in Dallas, but the finish was there. It's just hopefully the Blackhawks don't find themselves in a 3-0 hole, which they did in the last time they played against the Dallas Stars. Jake Ottinger was the goaltender in that last game against the Blackhawks. I mean, he was terrific. We'll see if he ends up getting the nod. I'm assuming Arvid Soderblom is going to be the goaltender for the Blackhawks. He's coming off that really impressive win in Anaheim over the weekend on the second day of a back-to-back to finish the road trip for the Blackhawks that gave him 6 points out of a possible 10 on that 5-game road trip. I think Soderblom stopped like 3.67 goals above expected. Like, it was a ridiculous number, and they really peppered a lot. The scoring chances were 54 in that game. That seems really high, but there were a lot of grade A opportunities that Soderblom had to stop, and he was up to the task. I believe his save percentage through three starts now is .926, which is a substantial improvement from last season, where he was in the 880s and was really struggling, especially in the second half of the season. So we'll see if Arvid can finish off the continue to perform at a high level in his fourth, which should be his fourth start of the season. And hopefully the Blackhawks can start a new winning streak in Dallas. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Big thanks to all the help we had on the broadcast tonight, our on-site reporter Jack Heinrich, and our production crew of Tony DeNardis and Brandon Rook. They were led by our engineer, our captain Paul Zerang here at the United Center, and Krista Flores at the station. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from the United Center, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 4-1 Blackhawks loss to the Red Wings. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks Hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN, streaming on WGNRadio.com, and through your smartphone with the WGN app.